But you know, aside from the development thing, I don't know if you wanted to touch on that at all, but that development was pretty much the springboard for the collapse of the Aspen Times as we know it. So that was that to me, that is not to be an understated loss for the community. The Aspen Times was an icon since the mining days and a respected and trusted source of local news. And
Well,
that's one of the saddest parts about that whole deal, I
it
think.
was run and passed on through hands. I mean, even George Stranahan was involved for a
Oh,
while
man.
there. I mean, it sort of had a history of Aspen folks tied to it, whereas now it's a commodity, just like everything else, things get bought and sold. But it feels to me like it's happening everywhere. It's just so
Yeah.
obvious in Aspen. It's so clear to see, that
Well,
it didn't sell
it's
out.
owned by the Nutting family now. They're a billionaire family out of, I don't know, somewhere in West Virginia, but they own the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they've turned it into a regional paper where they own a lot of other mountain town newspapers. They just take the front page stories from all the papers. They have, one employee in each place, and they basically re regurgitate the same stories all over Western Colorado, and it's just very regional, very light news. Very that's a it's like a brochure to sell real estate now, is in my
Well,
opinion.
you know what though? It also lets the daily news flourish as that. And the daily news, I remember when it was just a Xerox folded in half flyer that was handed out at the bus stop.
Yeah.
You
So
know?
did you guys know the whole story about how the Aspen Times kind of cratered? It was totally related to the 1A development in Drone. And so so the dominoes start to fall, and it's they've been falling pretty heavily ever since that 1A project was approved.
Well, now this is a much bigger question that goes to the world, because this is happening all over the place. And this is how we talk about people being disconnected to the world. Well, this is a much bigger, I always use Aspen as a frog. I always, when you talk about the environment and the ecology of how things are doing, they always talk about look at the frogs, because the frogs are the signature of how things are doing. Do they have three legs or whatever, things that are happening. And I feel like Aspen for me has always been that frog, because whatever I see happening in Aspen, 5, 7 years later, I see it happening here. Not as drastic, but I see it happening here. Aspen's more like a concentrated, because you have all those megalopolis folks there, living there, vacationing there, sort of constantly there. Whereas here is everything spread out. I mean, yeah, Phil Knight's down the street, but it's not like I bump into him every day. And it's so much smaller that you really get to see all that stuff. And it feels to me like what you're talking about has happened to all papers. I mean, Chris is from the papers, and man, he can talk about how, he's Gannett and a whole bunch of, it just sort of, it's not even what it was when he was there.
Well, it's that's very interesting. I went to a program at the Aspen Institute a year or so ago, and they were talking about these news deserts that are springing up all over the country, where small local newspapers are disappearing, and they're getting gobbled up by the large news conglomerates, or just they can't compete with online news and whatnot. So small town newspapers are disappearing. And the people who were talking in the program, the experts, were explaining to us that when you have a local newspaper or a local news source, then people are more engaged in their local politics because they can directly affect those so much easier. And they're less divisive, because you and I, if we're living here, we can disagree on school board matters, but we might agree that we need a new fire station, or that the hospital needs funding. So we can't afford in small towns, if the news is here, to just draw those hard lines between Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives and whatever groups you might come up with. But when those news deserts disappear, they're finding that the people in the small towns are identifying much more with large national news sources. And that's where we polarize. We polarize over these big national issues. We choose a team, and they're issues that we have much less influence over than we do at the local level. So we become these very divisive groups, basically liberals and conservatives, and that's really it's a shame for the small towns, and it's a shame for our country, and it's really a danger to the entire planet. So
it's not just newspapers though. I saw it even when I was up in the Roaring Fork Valley up there with the I think it was Clear Channel or Cox or one of those that bought out the radio stations.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everywhere from Eagle to Vail to all of the radio stations in that whole area were owned by the same people. They had the same playlist. Mm-hmm. They had the same DJ.
Yep.
But they would change it up and throw in local ads for that area.
Yep.
And the same is happening with cable. I don't know if you saw it a couple weeks ago. There was a story that came out about, I think it was Cox Media, is doing that with all of their cable news channels, where they would mm-hmm. take the same script and throw it out there, and then they're all right leaning or whatever it is, you know. But
yeah,
guys, the newspapers.
You guys that started Cox years bought ago. Out. Cox bought out Warner Brothers.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. Time Warner Cable.
Or maybe it was a small family owned. I can't remember which one it was, but it was a conglomerate that did that. And then they're all of their different channels, like you say, after they're spouting one side of the argument and further dividing everybody that watches it. And the real nefarious part of that is that they're on the local affiliates for like NBC or ABC or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
So they think that that's the news and that's the real news.
Yeah.
That's been happening a long time. I don't know if you ever read anything by Carl Hyacin, but he was he's an author, but he worked at one of the papers down in Florida too. And one of the books I read by him, he was talking specifically about JOAs, which are joint joint operating agreement. So it's essentially like the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain. Mm-hmm. They at one time merged and became a JOA. But was talking about in particularly small areas or whatever it was, they used to have people on the beat to go to, say, the city council meetings, right? Mm-hmm. So each of the papers would send somebody over to the city council meetings. And then they would each write about it in their respective papers. Well, when they joined together through redundancy, they got rid of one of those two people. Mm-hmm. And then the city council was like, well, here's what we'll do. We will, on Tuesdays, when we know that reporter, that now that they only have one reporter to cover it, when that reporter is going to be at our city council meetings, we cover the general information. And then we meet again on Thursday when that guy's stuck in the local basketball game and we talk about the real stuff we want to do. And it was like an eye opener for me, in that all of a sudden that fourth estate is now no longer as viable, specifically in newspapers, but now it's reaching out to cable, radio. And like you say, it's all in the national spectrum now, which is further divided than it has been probably since the Civil War.
And that's a shame. And we are lucky in Aspen that we have one local newspaper and one semi-local newspaper, but that's a luxury. And we have the public radio station and we have grassroots TV, and for a city our size, that's pretty amazing. You know, we are lucky in that sense that the newspapers carry on here, and I hope we maintain that. I hope losing the real Aspen Times has made people value the Aspen Daily News even more, because the Aspen Times is a great tradition, and there really were some great reporters over there throughout the years, and even up until the time it sort of blew up, when they started to self-censor the Deronin News.
I almost feel like the Daily News has sort of been more, it's more of a cultural representation even Sheridan's writing stuff on there now, and it feels, it feels, and with the combination of all you guys that are writing in there, it really feels like it sort of captures the essence of the people there, as opposed to the Aspen Times is a little bit more about articles and news and all that kind of stuff, whereas the Daily News feels a little bit more about here's Aspen and here's folks from Aspen talking about things that are important to them.
Yeah, and I think the credit goes to the ownership at the Aspen Daily News. They really understand that. They're Aspenites, and so they understand their tradition. They understand the importance of the role they play in this community, and they protect that. And you know, the Aspen Times with outside corporate ownership that just is probably more focused on profits, and they probably look more closely at how their ad revenues are coming in, more than the stories they're reporting. And I think they demonstrated that with the drone, and they just did not want to, print the truth. They held us back from, publishing good stories about the drone and the Lift 1A project at a time when people really needed to know what was going on there. And to me, and to all the others who jumped ship around that time, that was a very, very sad moment, and kind of a frightening moment too, that, that the local paper would withhold news from local people over an issue as big as that.
It was terrifying, Roger. I'm going to tell you that working with with journalists all over the place, everybody I knew that knew about that story was freaking out that, hey, you know, money and power should never hold sway over the journalistic truth, the objective information that people need, you know, but... Yeah, it was terrifying.
Well, and terrifying is the right word, Chris, because I was terrified when I realized, when you write a story and you look at the story and you know it's something that the town needs to hear, they need to be made aware of it, and it's accurate and it's true. And the paper, you know, you've got your, we had our editor, Dave Krause. He was like, yeah, we got to run this. And, you know, the newsroom is all fired up about this news. And then you get the word from corporate that says, no, we're not going to run those stories until we settle this issue with Drone. And that lets the steam out of the newsroom. It just crushes people. It just crushes people and destroys the purpose for what they think they're working there for, because, you know, reporters are underpaid, newspaper people are underpaid, and they're doing it for the passion, for their desire to tell the truth, for, the thrill of uncovering an important story. And they just crushed all that, and they crushed the people there in the newsroom, and they're good people. And it was terrifying. It was sad. It was just really, really a gigantic thing that hit our town, and I think most people realize it, but there are still people who I don't think realize the significance of that story.
Well, here's the thing. I think that also reflects further down the line. You know, we talked about cause and effect. Just because this is the paper, that's just one industry, but it feels like you're starting to see where if people don't like it in certain things, they just sort of pick it up and change it. And that's happening on all sorts of levels.
Right. Yeah, those boundaries are not respected anymore. It's kind of like whoever has the most money gets to make the decision and gets to tell us what the news is. And the very scary thing about that is if we don't know what the real news is, we can't even react to it. So when all this was going on with Drone, and most of the people in Aspen were oblivious to it, and think about how scary that is.
Right. Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know, and that's and the reporters did know what they don't know, but they couldn't tell the people, their readers, what it was.
That's when you need a Hunter Thompson.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, Roger, is there a connection? And I've never been able to find it, but is there a connection from that Gorsuch to the Supreme Court justice?
Yeah, they're like second cousins.
Oh, cousins. Okay.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, there is definitely a familial connection there, and so I don't you know, Jeff and I are actually good friends, and our families have been good friends forever. My father was his godfather, and it goes way back. So Jeff and I, even though I disagree with him on some things, we're good friends. So, but that's how I know that there is a connection there.